Most of the comments, which were very good, by the way, were about how you noticed within yourself either a preoccupation with fear of making mistakes, which is very common, or you noticed that you weren't concerned about making mistakes, that you were able to just sort of like give over to the exercise, and you noticed that it was happening by itself. So the thing that I want to just illuminate a little bit is the fear, the belief of being wrong or making mistakes or not being perfect. And I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to let that go. You cannot create freely, easily, effortlessly, if you are concerned about making a mistake in acting, in any real art form. I mean, now granted, dance and music and stuff like that, when you have a score and you have to play the notes, there's that, but there's still room for your interpretation, the way that you feel it, the way that you see it, the way that you want to play it, whatever it might be. But especially in acting, and I'm saying this from my own experience, coming to acting from many years of martial art training, then classical dance training, and then becoming an actor, where everything prior to acting was all about being perfect, about being right. And it was a very rigid environment of precision. And it took me some time to realize that that isn't applicable necessarily to acting. It is if you're filming something or you're staging something that must be precise in some way, either because of the lighting or the spacing or the timing. Yes, you have to, work toward fulfilling that. But in terms of having a full experience, it's difficult to have a full experience if you're preoccupied with the fear of making a mistake. So make mistakes. I mean, that's really the creative process. It's let me follow an impulse and see where it takes me. There's no mistake in that. There's no right or wrong in that. And in that process of following the impulse, I discover something. I discover a perspective. I discover a timing. I discover a new way of doing something. And so it's just the constant process of exploring, exploring, exploring without concern, without fear of being wrong or making mistakes. And I'm throwing things at you like that exercise to make you aware of just that. And what I'm really happy about is that you're communicating exactly what I was hoping you would discover. That, I was concerned about it, I was a little off game, and then I let go of that and I got back into it, or I went in and out of it. This is just the process of developing that awareness of how you're working, how you're entering the space, entering the experience, and how it goes without judging yourself. If you're concerned about right or wrong, you're going to judge yourself constantly. That's just, natural there. So this, for some of you might be able to let go of that anytime. Some of you, this may take you some time. This may take you several semesters or even several years. I don't think it will, based on how you're working, because really it's about making a choice. That's all it is. Being concerned about making a mistake is a choice to focus on that, to hold that as your expectation, and then to judge that accordingly. If you make a choice to let that go, that's not even part of the process anymore. Understand? It's a kind of a paradox. You got to let that go, but then you have to be clear and specific. And we want to be able to follow impulses without any real concern. And then as we become conscious and aware of how we want to do it, how we want to communicate this experience or this material, then we start making clearer and more specific choices. And the paradox is the more specific and clear you are, the freer you are to allow other spontaneous impulses to influence you, even within a specific choice. It's a framework. Okay? Any comments or questions on that? Sarah Lipton?
So today I actually felt very, very good about the warm-up and our first run-through of both sides of the form. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't expecting that because I've had a really long week and a lot going on, and I came in sort of tired. And I realized that I think that actually helped me, because I definitely fall into that camp of wanting to be right and I'm a perfectionist. And I just didn't have the energy to think about that. So
that's the
I don't
gift.
Know exactly. Yeah.
That's the gift.
Yeah.
I can't tell you. It's like, you know, the way I feel, I'm just very nauseous and exhausted. I was up all night, you know, like throwing up and stuff. But I've worked under worse conditions, trust me, and had to go out and do a Broadway show. And some of my very best work has been in a state like this, where I just didn't have extra energy to worry with or to push with. I had just enough to get done what needed to get done. And that's approaching the effortless principle of Tai Chi. It's trusting that enough is enough. But again, when we hold the belief that enough is not enough, then we push harder than is needed. And that starts to distort the intention, the direction, everything. It's about really just pulling back and trusting as much as you can in that moment. So working under adverse conditions, you know, you're sick, you're injured, you're grieving. Those are the three big ones. Or you are resistant. You just don't feel like doing it today. But you've been hired and you're getting paid really well and you will do it. So how do you enter that experience? How do you approach that experience? And like my first class this morning, it was really difficult because nobody felt like doing it. And I get it. I totally get it. For whatever reason. But one of the common reasons that at this stage in the semester, by the way, is that you have so much on your plate. You are processing many techniques from many classes. But it's also the nature of the work. In this class and every class, it is to challenge your sense of identity, to stretch you beyond your known limits, to, you know, sometimes break you down so that you can expand, because you're just holding on too tightly. And that's a lot of change. That's just constant change. And you get to a point where you're like, can I just have a break? Can I just hold on to something for a little while so I can feel stable and secure within myself? And that's a nice thought. But it's a luxury and it's a rarity in the training process, in the artistic process, because you are in motion all the time. And being an artist is always questioning identity in some fashion. You know, how does this world event affect me and change my point of view? Now, how can I communicate that point of view or my personal experience through my chosen medium? Whether it's acting or singing or writing or, you know, choreographing, whatever it is. That's the constant, that's the life of the artist. And it's because of that, and that's why I say it takes a lot of courage to be an artist, to live that way, and to know and accept I'm in a constant state of flux. Having said that, you can still create a sense of stability by grounding and centering yourself in the moment. That's where you get to feel some sense of substance there. Even though everything around you is changing, or everything inside of you is changing. Do you embrace it? Do you go for the ride? Or do you try to resist the flow? Try to control the flow of change in order to feel safe and secure. I can just speak of my own experience. I've tried and I have failed every single time to try and control the flow of life or to try and control my personal growth process. My soul wants to grow and expand all the time. I think pretty much everyone's does. Question is, are we going to give it the space? Are we going to give it the recognition and honor that in ourself and say, this is going to be uncertain. This is going to feel uncomfortable. I'm going to feel vulnerable right now, but I'm choosing to allow. Okay? And that's where you enter the stream of possibility, of creativity. If you're trying to control it too tightly, you won't get there. You'll see it out there and you go, I got it. I can almost taste it. I can almost touch it, but I'm not in it. And it's really about just going, okay, I accept. I'm going for it. Any comments or questions on that? So the last thing I want to say is I chose to lead today because I needed to. I needed to activate my energy. To balance myself because I know that I can. And I know that I always feel better after I have gently moved and expressed my energy. When we got to the stress, the stretch section, I was like, okay, I gotta go take care of business here. But it's not like, oh, I can't go any farther. It's this, I take care of that and I come back and I continue. That's what every professional does. That's what every professional athlete does. They train every day, sick, sometimes injured, sometimes grieving, when they don't feel like it, when the weather's not nice, da 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 da, because they know it's exactly in those moments that they are going to accelerate their growth process or use it as an opportunity to balance. To balance. Okay, so I ask myself, what do I need? I need to gently set this energy into motion so that I can balance. It's moving out of my system. Once it's out of my system completely, I will go back to a state of equilibrium. But if I'm resisting it, I'm holding it in my system. And now I have to deal with holding this for longer and longer periods of time. And this is true in any healing process because I look at healing as balancing, coming back to a state of relative balance, whether it was a physical injury or a surgery or an illness. Okay? Now, the misconception is that you're going to go back to what we call normal. There is no normal, there is the familiar, but the familiar is always changing. So, if you have a serious injury or illness and you are recovering and you are focusing on going back, listen to it, back to normal, that's your attempt to try to go back in time. I don't think you're going to be successful. What you have to realize is every injury, every illness, every major experience is going to change you in some ways, sometimes small, sometimes very large. And when you come back to a state of balance, it is not the same experience of balance as it was in the past. It's the new balance. It's the new state of balance, of relative balance. And that's really hard for people to accept. And I say this because I've worked with so many people, you know, like after surgeries or cancer treatments, whatever. They're so focused on getting back to what they used to know. And it actually prevents them from moving forward. And if I can get them to understand that they can accept a new normal, a new balance, having been altered or affected by what they just went through, then it speeds up. The healing process speeds up because you're not in resistance anymore. You're allowing things to change because that's what healing is. It's a transformation from one state to another. Okay? But what we have to understand is the transformation to the new state is a new state of being, of discovery. How has my identity changed now after I've gone through this experience, whatever that might be? That is a very spiritual, martial approach to acceptance. I accept that I'm going to be altered by this battle. I don't know how it's going to go. I don't know how I'm going to come out of it on the other side. But I'm going to use it to continue to expand and to continue to become more aware. And in that process, I can go back to a relative state of equilibrium very quickly. Because I don't have an expectation of going back to an old familiar place inside myself. Any comments or questions on that? Sarah Lipton.
What you were talking about in terms of going back to, in terms of the whole coronavirus situation, now that people are starting to get vaccinated and things are starting to open back up, I think there's a lot of talk about going back to normal. But I don't think there's going to be a back to what it was before.
I agree. I don't expect it to either.
Yeah, and what I was just thinking, so my dance studio, Broadway Dance Center, just opened back up this week for in-person classes. And I went on Monday and I took a class with one of my teachers who I've known forever. And it was so crazy that it's hybrid. So you're in the studio and then there's a bunch of people from all over the world taking mm-hmm. class at the same time. Mm-hmm. And that is a new normal that I think is amazing. And meanwhile, obviously we're all sort of standing there being like, okay, it'd be great if we could get out of our like 6-foot boxes and not wear masks, mm-hmm. but there is a new normal.
Yeah, for now, it is the new normal, and we're figuring it out. We're creating a new way based on the virus. Last March, when NYU and Strasbourg said, we have to go to remote now. You know, no warning whatsoever. It's like, figure this shit out right now, folks. And everybody, teachers, students, staff, we all were just like, oh, how do we do this? How do we do this? And people were so shell-shocked, all of us, that we couldn't even like allow ourselves to be creative in the beginning, because we had an expectation of what it was supposed to be in studio. And I remember having this conversation with my classes, and I said, guys, this is a great opportunity to work on camera, and we'll probably be living this way for some time. Who knows how long this is gonna, okay? So you might as well figure out your technology and all the other stuff. Use it to your advantage any way that you can. And here's what we're finding now, a year later. Business as usual is not business as it was. I'm not just talking about our profession. I'm talking about all businesses changing because they realize they don't need these giant office spaces. And those are now going to be lying empty. And work as we knew it has been altered to be more mobile and, you know, through this technology. Okay, how long is it going to take some people to accept that? For me, I'm like, I accept it right now. Boom. Something major happens, I say, I accept it. I accept that it happened. I don't know how to move forward yet, but I will figure it out. I will be creative, but I do acknowledge, accept, and allow that this is happening because I want as little resistance as possible. I want to be able to adapt quickly so that I can get back to my center, my state of balance, and then use whatever tools and resources are available to me to move forward with new given circumstances. Because that's what we're doing. Acting training, I just found it so useful on so many levels in terms of how to apply like just basic acting training to life. Like, who knew? And historically, we would have our NYU Parents Day, which we did on Zoom, you know, this last time, but we would have it at Strasburg, and we would have sometimes like 30, 40 parents show up. And they would always be like, I would say, who's nervous that your child wants to be an actor? And a lot of hands would go up. And I would say, well, why are you nervous? Well, we want to make sure they can make a living. You know, how are they going to take care of themselves? Well, this is what every parent is concerned about, obviously. And I said, well, the thing is this, your child may not end up working as an actor, but the training that they're given is going to make them 10 times better at anything they want to do. It's going to enable them to do anything they want to do because they will know how to make clear and specific choices. They will know how to be creative, how to take charge, how to respond, how to adapt. Isn't that what we all want for our children? And they're like, well, I never thought of it that way. So this is the training. What you do with it, that's up to you. You know, I mean, some of you may have several careers going on at the same time. That's great. Whatever you choose to do. But it can be applied in more than just on the stage or in the classroom. Good. So for those of you who like to plan ahead, to pre-plan, what does that mean? What is that process about? How effective is it? And in what context is it most effective? Joseph?
Well, I think the thing with pre-planning is to like kind of act as the security blanket to ensure that you know what you're doing and to like kind of instill that confidence within you, which is why like often when it comes to school related things or job related things, you catch people pre-planning in order to make sure that they know what they're doing and they're confident in their abilities.
And then what happens when things don't go the way you plan?
You freak out.
Do you have to?
You can't freak out. No, you can, though.
Yes. It's a common reaction,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Here's how I look at the difference between organization and planning. For me, to get organized is to assemble all the things that I'm going to possibly need. Okay? So I shot a commercial last week. The night before, I'm like, I got to get organized. What's the wardrobe? How many choices do I want to bring? You know, what's my checklist? All the things that I need to have, knowing that I don't know how it's going to go. Okay? Whereas pre-planning is often planning with an expectation, as Jada just said. I expect it to go the way I planned, and now it's not going that way. And how do you react or respond once you realize that your expectation, your pre-planning, is not fulfilling that expectation? So the common thing is to go, well, this isn't working out. Forget it. I'm just going to shut this down right now. Okay? That's one possibility. What I like many of you, I mean, I'm super organized. I have lots of notes and I have my planners and I love my calendar and all that stuff. I was like, yeah, I like to see, you know, what is there. But the difference for me now, and this has taken me some time, is to let go of expectation. Because I know that rarely will things transpire the way that I expect them to, or the way that I would like them to. And teaching is what, you know, really brought this to my attention. When I was trained at the Royal Winnipeg Ballet as a teacher, I went through the teacher training program, and it's very strict and rigid, and it's a day-by-day syllabus. Every day. I mean, it is planned, and you must adhere to the syllabus to get from point A to point B. So when I started teaching Tai Chi, I applied the same rigor. I had my syllabus, but it became clear very quickly that I never was able to fulfill the syllabus that I had planned. I always overplanned. I always had at least 5 times more material planned than we could actually do in class. And so for the first few years of teaching Tai Chi, I was like, this, you know, I'm frustrated. I want to give them, you know, all the things that they're going to need and more and blah. But it's really dependent upon what they could take in at any given time. And then eventually, so I started to let go of, you know, packing in so much material and da, 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 da. But then I became aware it's not about my agenda as to what I want you to experience. I start asking, what is it that you need? What do the students need? And now I have a whole different agenda. Because I'm listening, I'm watching carefully, I'm going, well, my agenda is not applicable. Because it's just my agenda. It has nothing to do with who I'm working with here. So that taught me to be organized, to have options, but to enter the experience with no expectation of an outcome, but rather throughout the process to tune in and go, are they getting it? Is this too much? What do they need? Where are they now? And sometimes I have to push a little harder to make people stretch a little faster, and sometimes I need to pull back. And that's just listening with my tools and resources, but not having an expectation or not having judgment. Every class is different. Every person is different. Everybody is having their own experience at their own tempo. So how do you account for all of that? By just working in the present with the tools and resources that are available, without an expectation of you're supposed to get it. So when NYU and Strasbourg, you know, well, Strasbourg did it because NYU demanded that we create a syllabus, a week-to-week syllabus. We've been doing that for quite some time. I never was able to fulfill the syllabus as I had planned. And so when they said, you know, we want feedback on how your syllabus is going, I'm like, you know, every year is different. The dynamic, the focus, the passion, whatever it is constantly changing from year to year. Now, it's interesting because I've been teaching this class for 22 years now. And for the first maybe 15, it was pretty consistent. Like I was able to pretty much adhere to a standard syllabus. But then something started to happen. Like we would get a class that would come in and the dynamic was not conducive to the syllabus. And so we're trying to hammer the syllabus in, you know, the square peg in the round hole, and it's not working. So I was like, well, that's not working. And if it's not working, you must adapt. So I started to become less rigid and more flexible. And every year for the last, let's say, at least 7 years, I'm like, at the beginning of a new school year, I'm like, ooh, I'm so excited. I don't know what I'm going to get. I don't know who's coming. I don't know what the group dynamic is going to be. I don't know what they're going to need. And so I am constantly going back and going, I make a lot of notes after every class. I write down everything we did. And I look at that from year to year. It is not the same. It is tailored to what is, what I'm working with, who I'm working with. But I am organized and I am prepared without an expectation.